Thank you, Ryan. I think, go for it, yeah. It's cool, isn't it, to be reminded about where we've come from and just being real with it? Like, why hide the truth of what we were like before God got hold of us? And why deny these things? I used to think in my story, I was embarrassed for years about who I was before Jesus. I wouldn't admit it to anyone. I'd want to hide it as much as possible and kind of pretend that I had it all together, even before Jesus got hold of me. Who had it together before Jesus got hold of them? Honestly. No, none of us did. None of us did. Yeah. So, yeah, God's good. God's good. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be sharing even more stories, because we, in our midweek group, our Connect group this week, we had some crackers. And, it was just amazing to hear what was happening in people's lives when God drew them in. There's some really good ones, some unexpected people that I've known for years. And I was like, hang on a minute, I never knew this about you, Dave Scudder. So we're looking forward to Dave sharing that as well, and others. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be really cool, because our faith should be stirred that God can call and choose anybody. And if you have one person in your life that you think God cannot possibly call them, watch what he does. Yeah, seriously, watch what he does. Okay, do you guys fancy putting the first little picky on? Is that all right? I've got some sort of clicker thing here. I'll see if it works in a minute. But yeah, these stories, one thing that stood out from all of these different stories or testimonies was the fact that people had an encounter with God. I remember listening to the stories. It wasn't like just a belief. I know it starts in the head, but it does eventually move to the heart. And so many people, when it moved from the head to the heart, said, I remember the day when that happened. I remember the day that God did something, moved it 18 inches from up here to down here. Because God's alive. And he's got this unconditional love that I really knew nothing about before. So the thing here is that, you know, really, Jesus has always done this. That's how he encountered people. That's how he encounters people now, but also 2,000 years ago. And that's really what we want to just touch on today, is this business of what happens when Jesus calls you. Does that sound all right? Cool. So we're going to be in Mark's Gospel. You might want to grab your Bibles if you wanted to follow along. And we're at a point in Jesus's life where he's walking by the Sea of Galilee. Now, Jesus is like 30-something, having spent most of his life as a carpenter, just like his dad. But something's about to change, because Jesus is going to reveal who he is. You see, he wasn't just some guy who swung a hammer, as quite a few of us know. He was something more than that, because he wasn't even just a great teacher as well. Jesus was God himself in human form. So this is what Mark writes about him. He says, look, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And then a little later, Mark continues. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. Let's see if this works. Oh, you guys are on it. Well done. Very good. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. And then a few chapters later, Mark then tries to capture what is really meant by Jesus' invitation. And he touches on this. He says, look, then he called the crowd to him. Like, things are heating up. And they called him along with his disciples and said, look, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Do you spot the pattern in Jesus' invitation? At no point can I see in Scripture where Jesus is calling people for the first time by saying, hey, believe in me, and when you die, you can go to heaven. All right? Jesus doesn't say, why don't you convert to Christianity? He doesn't say that either. He simply says, come and follow me. Come and follow me. And if you've been around the block a few times, you've been in churches a little bit, you've heard some of this language before, talking about following Jesus. But what does it really mean to follow Jesus? And this is, like, if we're going to be Jesus-shaped people, we have to understand what Jesus is calling us to. Does it mean then that we've got to be a bit religious? You know, Raya talked about having a belief in something. Like, does it stop at a belief in the existence of God and buying into the beliefs of Christianity? Does it mean we have to go to church on Sundays? Does it mean we have to try being a really good person? You're shaking your head. Are you getting it? Yeah, it's good. I used to think that that was what being a Christian was all about. I remember being a teenager thinking, what I need to do is try to avoid doing bad stuff. Well, at least trying to avoid being caught doing bad stuff, right? And then when I actually did do bad stuff, which was completely inevitable, I would then have to wait for the guilt and the shame to wear off just enough so I could go back in front of God and give him my best apology. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah? I lived life like that for years. Years. I called myself a Christian because I believed in God, but I did not follow him. Do you want a nerdy fact? Yes, because Dave wants a nerdy fact because he's a nerd. But in the Bible, the word Christian is used just 3 times. And it's always negative. It's quite derogatory to Christians. But instead, the word that is most used to describe somebody closely connected or associated to Jesus is the word disciple. Yeah, used 268 times. That's a massive difference, isn't it? And do you know what the word behind the word disciple can also be translated as? Follower. Follower. Now, we all follow someone or something, right? Could be on like Instagram or Twitter, could be a famous person, a singer, could be a band, could be a film star. I follow something. Do you want to know what I follow? You ready? What did it say? Don't be ridiculous. Manchester United Football Club. Okay. Now, we are, nil-nil, thank you. I have definitely enjoyed sharing that fact a lot more in the past than I do right now. I think Erik ten Hag is possibly even having a sit-down conversation now about his future. It's not going to go well for him this week. At least I don't get called a glory hunter anymore, right? That was like that for years. But the thing is, it's like, well, we can think of following almost as if it is like supporting someone like Manchester United at the moment. You know, you stick with them no matter what. You are committed through the highs and the lows. That's what it means to be a follower. Does it? Not really what Jesus means either. So what is it that Jesus is trying to get at? Well, probably the best word that summarizes what a disciple or follower is in our language is actually the word apprentice, right? I don't know, did you think of Lord Sugar immediately when you hear apprentice or not? Yeah, a little bit. What else do you think of when you hear the word apprentice? You're fired. Is that a prophetic word? Yeah, I hope not. Right. But what do you think of when you hear the word apprentice? Ignore Lord Sugar. What's, hey? Mentoring, training. Do you think of the trades? Money. Yeah, straight in with it. Yeah. Do you think of the trades like electricians and plumbers and carpenters and all that sort of stuff? But you could do an apprenticeship in anything these days, can't you? There was like in my old place, digital marketers, web designers, everything. Teaching assistant, exactly. So this is the best thing to have in your mind when you think of what is a follower. They are an apprentice. You see, because all of apprentices, they have the same goal, which is to learn from the person who has mastered something. Does that make sense? Learn from the person who mastered something. So, that's exactly the same with Jesus. Because the goal of following Jesus was never that you got to know something, but it's that you became someone. It's really different. In ancient times, do you know what they used to do? they used to follow around their teacher, trying to replicate everything about them. Right? They called it in the dust of their rabbi. They used to be so close, they would try and copy their mannerisms of their master. They would try and copy the words that they would use. And they would even dress like their teacher. Who would ever dress like their teacher? Okay, no offense, Kate. But it's true, isn't it? Like, but hey, this is what they did. Because what they wanted to do was they wanted to be with their teacher so they could become like their teacher. So in the end, they could do as their teacher did. Make sense? So, 2,000 years later, what's the goal of being a follower of Jesus now? Well, that's not changed. It's still this. Our goal as a follower or an apprentice of Jesus is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, so that we can do as Jesus did. That's what a follower looks like. And that's all we're going to talk about today. So Jesus, he was like a very good teacher. He used some brilliant illustrations to describe what he meant. And he once gave his followers a picture of what following actually means. And I'm going to paraphrase it. It's in John 15 if you really want to read every single word. But he said, I want you to imagine a vineyard in your head. Right? You got that in your head as well? Who's thinking about wine? Back in the room, please. Come on. Stay focused. So I want you to imagine a vineyard. And he's saying, look, see that massive trunk thing right in the middle? It's got its roots deep in the ground. See, that's me. I am the vine. That is where the goodness comes from. And you guys are the branches that come out of the vine. That's what who you are. You're connected to the vine, but you come out from the vine. And my goal for you is that you are fruitful. So if you're a follower of Jesus today, the goal for you is that you live a fruitful life. And Jesus is saying, look, you in your life can bear some serious fruit. Some juicy big grapes. But here is the thing. You must stay connected to me. Because I'm where the life is. And this is what Jesus says. He said, look, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, what does that say? You can do nothing. Wow. Nothing. See, Jesus is really clever because each of the points of following him are in this picture. Like the first one, be with Jesus, it's very simple. He's saying, why on earth would you ever try and be fruitful on your own? Why would you bother? Because if you do it on your own, you're going to be disconnected from me. And if you're disconnected from me, you're going to die and just be useless wood, good for the fire. That's what he's saying. So instead, the invitation is, stay attached to me and become like me. He's saying, look, connect to me like a branch. Because what's going to happen is when you're connected to me, I will make sure the Spirit flows through you. He's saying, look, who I am. Who the Spirit is, what I'm like, will start to change who you are. This is how it works to be a follower of Jesus. This is how we become like Jesus. It won't just be his beliefs. It will actually be a change in us that happens from the inside out so that we can be more peaceful, more loving, more patient, more kind, more joyful, more gentle. That's what it means to become Jesus-shaped. And as we do start to look a little bit more like Jesus, as we do start to have our hearts aligned to his and aligned to his ways, Jesus promises us something. Because in that same passage, it says in the end, look, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Or said another way, become like me and you will start to do as I do. It's as simple as that. So I just want to take these quickly in turn, and we're going to have a discussion after the second one. So hopefully you're ready for that. But you see, these branches, they are trained to bear the most fruit possible, just like, hey, we need to be trained to be with Jesus. And training is all about day-to-day practice. I don't know if you consider the life of Jesus much, but he had a real rhythm to the way that he lived. Right? He had times of silence and solitude, followed by these raucous times with his community and his boys. Like, he spent loads of time grafting and working hard. He spent loads of time giving out to others. And then do you know what he did? He then took a day off every single week. Does that sound good? Yeah, he then spent time in scripture, he spent time praying, and do you know what? He spent time fasting, but that was followed by feasting. It's good, isn't it? This is kind of like the rhythm that Jesus had to his life, and it meant that he remained connected to God. It was like, at some level, he needed to be connected to the vine as well in those moments, but he's saying, look, it's flipped now, because I need you to connect to me. So believe it or not, some of the ways and the rhythms that Jesus had in his life, well, if we can learn what they are, then we too can become like him. And we too can start to do the things that Jesus did. But it starts with being with him. Being connected to the vine are like these little moments in your day where you say, I'm going to be with Jesus. Where you just slow down enough to breathe in and breathe out and recognize that God is with you. How often do you do that? Where you acknowledge that God has been there all along, but you haven't. It's like, God, I have been chasing my tail. I've been clearing my inbox. I've been putting the washing on. I've been doing a meal. I've been trying to find a really particular card with a particular transformer on for my 8-year-old son, just as a random example. You can get exhausted of living life like this. But now I'm here, God, and I recognize you are here with me. And I just want to say, if you don't spend time connecting in the vine like that, you're missing the point of being a follower of Jesus. You see, the best part of being a follower of Jesus is that you get to be with Jesus. It's probably going to mean a few changes to our lives if we take this seriously. Like, our morning routine is probably going to need to change some more. We're probably going to have to look at other opportunities in the day when maybe the kids are quieter, or we're going to have to think about a lunch break differently. Or maybe the last thing at night, or maybe it's just a bit of everything. But the point of being with Jesus is so that the rest of your day can flow from the goodness of those places and those moments. And I cannot possibly do justice in one talk about what I mean by these things. So over the rest of this series, we're going to be dotting things in as almost examples of how we can be with Jesus. And we can start exploring his rhythms in our lives. So look out for those. The second one is to become like him. Here's a fact about people. We don't want to be like people we don't like. Have you noticed that? Do you like Jesus enough to want to be like him? Do you know what I mean? You have to want to have his mind kind of in your mind. You have to see his heart and say, that's what I want in my life. You have to go, do you know what? His ways, I kind of do want to be my ways. But here's the thing. Even if you want that, none of us are going to become like that in some kind of heavenly flash of lightning. In a moment, we're going to wake up and we're going to be like Mother Teresa the Second, right? That's not going to happen to you, and it's not going to happen to me, because it doesn't happen to an apprentice technician who is trying to learn how to fit a gas boiler. He doesn't, or she doesn't, turn up to one session and suddenly know how to do everything, because they haven't been changed yet. It's a slow process, which is why whenever Jesus talks about becoming like him, what does he talk about? He talks about seeds and plants and trees and fruit. Why? Because life isn't like Jack and the Beanstalk. When things get put in the ground and seeds are planted, they take time to grow. They take time. But what's happening is the plant is learning to draw roots deep so it can draw water, so it can get strong. So when it does come into the light, it's ready. That's what's happening in your life as you decide to start becoming like him. And I think, to be honest, when we look at who Jesus is, don't you want to become like him? I do. Don't you want to be the sort of person who, do you know what, trusts God with everything rather than worrying about everything? What about the sort of person who has joy in their life all the time despite suffering and pain? Or what about the sort of person who can freely bubble up love instead of hate? Where are you with that? Because you know what? None of those things I've just mentioned are naturally in me. If you want to check, my wife's here. She will confirm that actually in my default state, I am naturally a control freak. Is that true? Yes, it is. Am I impatient, Emma? No. Yes, I am. I'm impatient, I'm unloving, I'm demanding, I'm selfish, and I can even be unkind. Do you know that? That is who I can be. I wonder if Jesus hadn't got hold of my life 20 years ago, where that default state would have taken me. I reckon I would have been a bit of a monster. I do. But this is the trophy of grace that I can stand here and say that I am. I don't say that arrogantly. It's not for my glory. He's changed me. He's changed me. And the way that happens is I am so far away from being the finished article, by the way, because I'm still some of those things. But you know what? He got hold of me 20 years ago, and I discovered that even I can become more like him. And it's actually easier than you think. All I need to do are the things that I can do to let God do the things that only God can do. What was his instruction to us in that illustration a minute ago? Was it to try really hard to grow fruit? Squeeze your eyeballs, your fists, and try super hard? Is that what he said? No, he just said, look, be connected to the vine. Be connected to the vine, and I will do the rest. That's all we've got to do. That's all we have to do. So let's talk about this, right? You don't need me monologuing at the front, sharing just my stories. I want us to all to think about this stuff. And we found it just easy over the last, you know, few months that if we get in little small groups and we talk about it, then, hey, we get to all sort of chew the cud a bit about what this stuff means. So, move around, make some noise, stand up if you want. But I'd love to give you a question just to talk about for 5 minutes, which is simply, who do you want to become and what is stopping you from doing that? Because we're all becoming someone. Don't think that you're not. We're all being formed and shaped by the stuff in our life to be a certain person. The question is, when you're sitting in your rocking chair, hopefully you make it that long, and you're looking back on your life, who do you want to have become? Make sense? Let's talk. It does involve moving. Yeah, turn around to your neighbours, have a chat. I'll let you know when time's up. If you don't know anyone, say hello. Cool. Okay, how's your memory? Is it all right? Yeah, hopefully that was a helpful conversation. Got quite honest in our group about the sort of things that, hey, there's some stuff I definitely know is a little bit different than Jesus in my life, and I'd love to become a bit more like him. So it's good to know it is possible. So here we go. What were the three things? The first thing is, to be a follower, we need to what? Be with Jesus. The second one is to become like Jesus. Yeah, be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do as he did. Should we just talk about that one and then we'll finish? So do as he did. So for me, to do as Jesus did, like, do you honestly believe that we have been called to have the authority of Jesus outworked in our lives to the extent we do the things that he did? Like, who honestly, wholeheartedly believes that? Put your hand up. Okay. It's interesting. Because it's like there is a gap, isn't there, between sometimes our own understanding and even our own experience when it comes to this. And I think experience pulls down our understanding sometimes. But here's the thing, right? It is supposed to be like this. We are supposed to do the things that Jesus did. This is where following Jesus is nothing like following Manchester United Football Club. Okay, let me explain. I have the shirt, yeah? I've even got tickets to go and watch them against Leicester City and Chelsea. Okay, I have even got the European training gear. Yeah? But whilst it breaks my heart, I will never play as they do. It's not going to happen, is it? I mean, they might be rubbish at the moment. They're still better than me. It's never actually going to happen. But do you know what? Hey, yeah, not by much, true. But do you know what? If the call came, coach, I'm ready, put me in, right? But it's not going to come because that's not the point of following Manchester United. The goal is not to do as they did. It's just to watch them making an absolute hash up of what they're doing. But it is the goal of following Jesus, to do as he did. Like, if you just think about the stuff that he did, it's a bit of a crazy list. But you know what? Teaching, serving, hanging out with people miles away from God, peacemaking, doing justice, prophesying, healing people from all kinds of sickness and conditions, freeing people from oppression. Did Jesus do those things? Who else did those things? And they're also known as his followers. Are you a follower of Jesus? What's the difference? There isn't any. There's none. There's no difference. It might sound impossible for you right now, but you know what? I think one of the biggest questions I got asked 20 years ago, which helped the penny to drop, is, Q, have you thrown yourself in completely to following Jesus? Because it was a life-transforming moment when I realized the issue is not at his end, it's at mine. And actually, what does throw yourself in mean? I was going to end in a different way, but I'm not going to end in that way. I just felt God just saying, look, there's three things that to follow Jesus we've been talking about. And it's like, where are you most stuck? Are you most stuck on being with Jesus? Is that the thing that's stopping you? Are you most stuck on feeling like you're not really becoming much like him? Is that where you're stuck? Or is it just, I would love to do the things he did, but it's not quite happening yet? I just think we should pray for ourselves. What do you think? Why don't you stand? Yeah? I'm just going to pray over us. Some of you, it might be all three. But I just really sense that Jesus wants to help us with all three. He is the vine. His Father is the vine dresser, and he trains the branches to produce most fruit. And it's ultimately fruit for him, the vine dresser. It's for his glory. Jesus, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here that are trying to work out how best to be with you. I just pray over them. Jesus, show them the changes they might need to make in their life so they can have moments with you that feed their day with your goodness. And I pray for the most amazing intimacy with you. And I just want to pray for us as well, who are struggling with junk and mess and issues in our lives. Jesus, we want to become like you. That is the cry of our hearts. We actually want to become like you. But just like those branches attached to the vine, we need you in us. So I pray, Holy Spirit, as our helper, would you come and help us to become more like Jesus in these things? Would you give power and authority, even now, would you impart it in Jesus' name, that we would be people who can become like you? We want to be changed, Lord. We want to be changed, Lord, to be like you. There's no other we would rather be like, but we can't do it ourselves. So I just really pray for a great measure of obedience. but a great measure of openness as well. Lord, we want to become like you. And lastly, Lord Jesus, we want to do as you did. There is a massive gap in most of our experiences between what you did and what we have experienced to date. But God, I just want to stand in front of you fully bold and courageous in asking for, would you close that gap? And would you start to enable us by the work of your Spirit to do the things that you did? I thank you for the things that we have heard and seen already as a church here. But Lord, we're asking for more. We're asking for more. I look at this list and I say, this is what our community needs. Our community needs so much. Our families need so much. We need so much of you in our lives at work. And I just pray, would you deposit gifts where we're lacking? And would you deposit, oh, just faith where it's lacking? Real courage in Jesus' name upon us. We want to receive from you so we can do the things you do. Yeah, amen.